Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to know that all things are possible now that you hear something like it was in the great Exodus with Moses. Moses, your prophet, and you there, and then taking that same spirit upon Moses, putting it upon the people, that they might know the things of Almighty God. And Lord, we realize, in spite of all of that, that there was much failure in the camp. There were so many did not go through because there was unbelief. So we pray, Lord, that in your presence it shall be true that you do find faith, Malachi, for it has been already given to us, and we are in that faithful group who believe, Lord. There might not be one amongst us who is an unbeliever or disbelieves or rejects anything, but open-heartedly takes everything that has been given us by your word, prophet, this morning. Help us to study it correctly, to know what lies there, and then, Lord, may it be applied in our hearts and lives that we might reflect your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This is number 14 on the Anointed Ones of the End Time. And before we read anew, which we will a paragraph that we had looked at last, it is well to review the time element involved in the appearing of these false prophets. What is the exact time they appear so we can more clearly see their role? Well, it starts in Matthew 24:42. Could be previous to that, but it will start there. And it says here, we might as well start at 40. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant? Who is then a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give him them meat in his due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, for an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the hypocrite is a make-believer. It's a man that has a false face. And reading on, then shall the king have me likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 that were wise, 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. Wherefore, watch, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, what you're looking at here is not the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are looking at the time of the appearing of the Son of Man ministry, and God himself in the form of a pillar of fire with the prophet, as we see there, and see on my left hand the other picture. And this is the hour of separation. And the truth of the matter is that the world has for many, many years, that's a Christian world, fundamental, whatever you want to call it, because that's pretty well what you'd have to say, the Bible Christian. There are many Christians that aren't Bible Christians. After all, the Roman Catholics are a Christian people. They are not born again necessarily, the Greek Orthodox the same. And there are many people that are Christian, even Christian scientists, in a sense they believe in Christ as having been anointed, just a man, they're meeting God. But I want to get the thought here that these people that we're talking about here, many, do not believe in the Bible. They're not taught the Bible. But these people here that we're looking at in this particular section, they know the Word, but they don't know the reality of it. They don't really understand it. So, ever since back in the time of Darby, way back there, and the time of Drummond, those men, mighty men of God, great men of God, nothing against them, the Irvingites, fine people, they had come to the conclusion that there was an appearing and that there was a second coming. And though they were together, they were not simultaneous. One preceded the other. So the best they could do to figure it was the appearing would be the rapture and the second coming would be the literal return back to earth. Now they got part of it right. They got the literal return back to earth as the true second coming, but they blew it when it came to the appearing. Now, this is the greatest problem that the people with the William Branham message have. They simply cannot understand the appearing. They don't understand that there had to be the Lord Himself descend from heaven. They simply cannot believe that is that. Now, they say they do, but they can't. Now, they'd have a little better job with this. Because, you see, that's more of a great of a magnitude, and this is so little. See, now, what they really don't understand, that really isn't God, per se. That's what you see a camera caught. That is a light that shows the presence of God was there. And God actually could be bigger than Oral Roberts' vision, 900 feet high. But the point is what they don't really realize, that if you get the right amount of the atoms, I think it would only take really a teaspoonful or maybe the size of a golf ball to blow a city up. And how big is big? How powerful is powerful? It all depends on what you call power, like knowledge is power. If you knew how to make $1 million and I knew how to get it from you, I have more power than you got, honey. So they don't understand what we're talking about here, that this is the appearing. This is that time when he is to appear. As it says in Matthew 25, he's drawing a little word picture here of what he was speaking of in Matthew 24. You see? And he says, at the time when this one, the scream is made, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say, behold the bridegroom cometh. It says, behold him. Now, you can't behold something that's not here. What if I said, behold my keys? You'd say, well, Brother Bill, let me behold the keys. No, behold my keys. You say, man, you've got to be nuts. No, you're nuts. Behold my keys. You see, my God, isn't that pitiful? How can you behold what isn't there? Now you behold my keys. Now, God didn't only appear down there in Egypt with Moses in signs and wonders. He visibly was there and they saw him. And Brother Branham says, we got his picture. Now that's appearing. And it's at this time the false anointed ones are on the scene. The season of the appearing. Now, anybody can tell a season. Look it. Well, I don't know if they can or not. By the calendar, it's supposed to be spring. But spring has not really sprung. Well, it's springing because we can see some trees are a bit worse for the wear because, you know, they came out. Well, the trees are fine. They came out in spring. In the winter weather kind of came back on us. But this is not winter weather. I beg your pardon. It is spring weather. But it is a spring weather we don't like. But what I'm trying to get across to you, the seasons can usually be identified. All right. The season is identified on the grounds of Israel the Jews or Israel as a people, Israelites have returned back to the homeland. So we know that something must come. Now, also, in the scripture we have an understanding that Malachi must also be performed before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, of course, right away, the people who do not understand the rapture and do not understand the true appearing, they think it's a rapture, those people do not understand Malachi 4. So they simply know there's a season going on, but they can't tell that which belongs to the season. See, now you know they don't understand what belongs to the season because they're talking about the season of the rapture, and they believe it, and they say millions now living will never die. But they never quote that billions are, well, never mind billions, just put it to the millions, are absolutely deceived at this time. And who's going to do the deceiving? These people are going to do the deceiving. Okay, so they don't understand the time element. The time of their appearing is exactly at the time of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and just prior to the literal second coming of Christ. So therefore, it is prior to the rapture. Absolutely. prior to the Great Tribulation, prior to Jesus coming back with his own in the millennium. Their purpose is to deceive, with their objective in their deceit, to take over the church and bring to naught the kingdom of God by instituting death in another Garden of Eden situation. Now, do you think anybody but people like us believe that? No, they don't believe that. They don't believe there's a Garden of Eden situation. Yet the Bible says the Antichrist with these people is going to cause the people to believe the lie. And what is the lie? You shall not surely die. See? First of all, they don't believe that. And secondly, they don't believe there's two deaths. The death by fire on earth here, as God eradicates that which is upon earth to cleanse it for the bride coming back. And the second death, the spiritual death. Because remember, when the Spirit of God indicates, not just indicates, but tells us in the book of Malachi, he's going to leave neither root nor branch. That doesn't simply say, here, hey, we're not going to have another population spring up like it was in the days of Noah. It tells you, literally, they're going to be annihilated at the white throne in the lake of fire. Now, how many want to believe that? They don't want to believe it. You see, they don't believe the elements of the hour. They believe the hour, but they don't believe the elements. See, it is in the season of immortality that these false anointed appear. And they would deceive even the elect, if that were possible, which, thank God, it is not. The message, this message is the critical message of this age. As true and enlightening as is the sermon on the conditions of the rapture and many other great messages, they would all come to nothing if the elect did not understand what is going on in the devil's kingdom through these anointed ones. So this message is the great warning. And we're getting at some pretty good material this morning on as we look at some things here. It is very doubtful that all the people who say they believe in Brother Branham can follow this message. The test of the prophet's followers is the same test given to those who do not follow. Can they get their eyes off of signs, wonders, and works, and believe in a vindicated message wherein vindication is no longer contemplated, but the message becomes everything? Now let that sink in. You'll see it as we read it. We've already read some. The simple rule the prophet left us is this. Take Moses as your example. Moses was the true manifested word. Let that statement sink in. He was thoroughly vindicated by God. He came first. So all else that follows with any vindication whatsoever, purported, claimed, visible, is false, period. Not semicolon, not comma, not a question mark, but period. The definitive. Vindication by any evidence, since the prophetic message has been delivered, is passé, completely nullified and void. Vindication is over. The word will now bring the bride together. The false prophets will bring the world church together in a great organization. It might not look like it, but the prophet said it. It will enthrone the Antichrist. It will proclaim itself the true church. It will be a brotherhood that will make all men marvel and wonder. It will deceive all but a very, very few who are elect. But its folly will be made manifest. So now we're going to go to page 39, where Brother Branham says only the elect of Ephesians 1 and 5 will not be deceived. And you know we read that last Wednesday night. We could read it again, Ephesians 1 and 5, and then we'll start reading. And it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, all those who were before the foundation of the world in this particular hour are coming into a manifestation that the word of God said would come, and not any other hour but this one. And so here is your manifestation, and you can readily understand that I will be speaking from that viewpoint that the manifested sons are those that stay with the word. the word which has already been vindicated. We do not need a continuing vindication. As I've said many, many times before, once you know the Pythagorean theorem, you do not need to prove it over and over again. You just simply apply it. So that's what you do here. All right. 167, paragraph 139. Notice the anointed ones. Only the word will separate them, not the signs. Separate what? Separate them from us. Oh, no, they'll do the same signs. But the word is what separated them, caused them to leave, to get away. Sure, they all prophesied, they all did this, that, and the other, sure, just the same. So therefore, I would say this, yet right today, there are those who look for something more in the realm of vindication or manifestation. It will not come. It is the separation time of Matthew 24, 40-42, which Brother Branham said was a separation by the word, whereas Luke 17 was the actual separation in the rapture. The word is doing it now without further evidence. That's the word is separating us, separating the people, and there's no evidence. We are manifesting ourselves by the stand that we take with this message. That's true for every single one of us, even that claim to believe the message, never mind those on the outside. Jesus said they do the same thing, the false anointed ones. But the word is what separated them, not signs. And so therefore we realize through history it's always been revealed word. Luther did not step up with signs and wonders. It was the revealed word. Wesley did not have signs and wonders. And keep that in mind as we get into this message. They did not have it. But it was the word that did it. The gifts unite in this age. They never had gifts before. But they have now. What's happened? These false anointed ones and those that believe in them have turned down the true gift, which is the headship. Christ here in the form of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice Jesus said in Matthew 24? He didn't say, there shall rise false Jesuses in the last days. Oh no, they'd never stand for that. No. You get a real Pentecostal himself, say himself he's Jesus, see? Get a false Methodist, a Baptist, something like that, or one of the organizations, say we're Jesus. They know better than that. They aren't going to do that. But the Bible said they'd be false Christs, not Jesuses, false Christ. Now, that's what you're looking at here, then, these false prophets. In other words, they're false anointed. But I would ask this question. Aren't there some who are looking at false Christ even today? The answer is yes. They can't shake Pentecost. They can't do it. I'm sorry, but I know what I'm talking about. They wouldn't have... 169, they wouldn't have recognized, say, I'm Jesus. Oh, no, they wouldn't recognize that. They wouldn't take that and say, that's okay, no. But they're false Christs and don't know it because they're contrary to the word. Now, that's poorly phrased. Now, what it is, they're false Christs. They don't know they're false Christs. But the reason they're false Christs is because they're contrary to the word. Now, they don't know it, and people don't know it, unless there's some kind of a standard to go by. Because you've got a prophet that does genuine signs, and you've got a bunch of people doing the same genuine signs. So there's got to be something somewhere that separates and gives us an understanding. And that is, the man that was on the scene first is the man that you look at. Now you're not, remember, it's not what the Pentecostals thought. Here is a great man with a great ministry. And this is something that God told us to look at. And hallelujah, we'll just step it right up and step on. That is contrary to the scripture. Showed what they were. See, just showed what they were. Now, I'm sorry. Look, I don't like to keep going over those things as though we're, you know, trying to make ourselves somebody. That's not the point. It's to confirm your understanding. The voice that spoke to Tommy Osborne could not have been the voice of Almighty God in line with the Word of God. Could not have been. Although it is true. There's an example. You can do it too. Could that be God in the light of a vindicated prophet? What should have been the reaction? There's a man to listen to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then if something caught your attention to make you listen, get your eyes off what caught your attention. I haven't got much use for Ern Baxter, but I will say he said it or got it from somebody else. He said, when you see the sign that says, to the buses, don't get on the sign and ride the sign, go to the bus. So get off the signs and wonders kick. You don't have to look for anything else. Those signs and wonders pointed us to the seven thunders under the seventh seal. And everything in there that's needed to put us in a rapture is there. And the only reason you believe that is because there's vindication. My God, brother, sister, when you take the wrapper off the bread that says this is bread, then throw the wrapper away, so to speak, or put it on one side and eat the bread. Gee, we're going to have a lot of people going around naked pretty soon. You like the bag, the clothes came in. So I like the bag, I like that. Well, put the clothes on. You're naked. Oh, no, I like the bag. Oh, God, old bag lady, stay there and die with the rest of them then. I'll treat you bad, just let you know what's going on. Read it again. But they're false Christ. They don't know they're false Christ, but they are. You know why they are? They're contrary to the word. Who said so? Especially notice, God vindicates them just the same. Vindicates them in their false word. You say, hey, what kind of a messed up thing is this anyway? That's exactly the truth. That's why everybody but the elect are deceived. And it's meant to be that way. It's meant to be that way. I'm sorry, but that's the word of God. Maybe you'd sooner go home now and forget about predestination. Forget about a prophet's message. You're too chicken. You're too thin skin. I hope you're not. Because it's the truth. Amen. You're carried away with somebody's nonsense. Now I'm just bringing this right down to a showdown now. What's the showdown? Bigger miracles? Forget it. Bigger crowds? Forget it. That's all done. The showdown is, can I now go from the sign to the word? See? Can I go from him that decreased to him that increases? And that doesn't disrespect one minute the one that decreased. That's acknowledging something. It's acknowledging truth. And the way God brings truth. Now, I'm just bringing this right down to a showdown now. I like the word now two times. Because you've seen the same thing done by these people that's been done in the real. What's real? The prophet. The real prophet. I said, Brother Branham, give me an illustration of a true vine and false. He said, sure, I'm true vine, or Robert's false vine. I got a phone call a little while ago. A very lovely brother. He had Paul Caney's church. Paul Caney's a nice boy. I like him. You can call 50-some-year-old guys boys. I guess you can. Brother Ban said, Lee, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but he said he's false anointed. I said, you didn't have to tell me, Bill, I knew it. I said, his mother's interpretation, she's 101 years old right today. Cured like you can't believe anybody cured. She was pregnant with Paul. Tumors would stop his birth. Cancers eat her breast off. Her lungs were shot with TB. The doc said, it's finished. Two Pentecostal women came in, and they prayed and they prayed. She got rejoicing and shouting. They called out. He said, Mrs. King, hold it. He saved your strength. She said, what for, doc? He said, I'm dying. Smart. Oh, she's a godly old lady as far as she knew. Names of the Lord stood by her bed. Something stood by her bed. Don't call it. I don't know what it was. Take it back to the scene of Ahab. Don't ask me questions. I ain't got them, but I can tell you what Brother Branham said. And I'll stand here knowing that the white throne is 24 hours off one day. Because 1,000 years is a day. And that person, whatever it was, said to her, fear not, daughter, thou shalt not die but live, for the fruit of thy womb is a male child. And thou shalt call his name Paul, for he shall go in the power, the power and the, something about the word of the Apostle Paul. That boy no more has an understanding the Apostle Paul's word than nothing. Now, Brother Branham was on the scene before he was. I don't care how good anybody comes after that man. Brother said, you get it? Some wizened up old cracker, mid old guy, nearly going around. God showed you that was that man. Any other man following him looked 10 times better with visions of God 900 miles high. You put it out of your mind. You close your mind. Brother Branham said the womb of the mind is closed. It's either closed or it is not closed. And if it's not closed, close it. Better shave your locks off. Get the doctor to make an incision. Pound something in there. So I'm bringing it down to a showdown. I'm the real one. But signs have their eyes blinded to their own unbelief. Now, as I've said now to you people out in telephone land, there I'm not condemning you, but this is my church and my group that the Holy Spirit set me over. Just like he said in marriage and divorce. And I've got to tell them them. That's saying not you out there, but those here, and maybe some out there, although some in here need it too. The truth. The hour is getting late. Now, what is truth? Truth is no more vindication. No more vindication. You know, people don't believe a prophet, but they believe the stupid government. What are your coppers filled with? Zinc, isn't it? Zinc in the middle of that is rusty zinc. Well, I think I'll go to the government and say, now, government, you're going to put some more zinc and more copper in those coppers. Government say, you drop dead. Whereas we say, millions of dollars making your coppers copper-coated and a zinc. Now, get out of the way. Say, oh, yes, Mr. Government, oh, yes. But you'll sneer at God and make God a liar. And I thought we were supposed to be taught in this world here that God's above governments. Too many Catholic churches around here. Elect ourselves a pope and that's it. Get ourselves a preacher, that's it. That's what I'm getting this word by word here. And then we can really slug it out. I'd sooner slug it out than just not slug it out. And then we know where we're standing. No. No more vindication, it's the word only. Now, they would not understand, they would not stand for that, calling themselves Jesus's, but false Christ, false anointed. Almost with every sign and every letter of the word. In other words, he said here, they come maybe just one letter of the word off. Change one word. Maybe make it a past tense instead of a present tense, or make it a future tense instead of a present tense. Oh, great one, Brother Branham, are you truly Elijah? Yes, I am. Well, we believe that was John the Baptist. Finish. One past tense. Well, that's going to come later. Didn't say one thing about disbelieving what was said. Just put it past or future. Where are they? Finish. Not because I say so. That's supposed to make us feel good and put everybody in purgatory or the lake of fire. That's not it. This is the truth. One letter off. And how do you change a present tense to a past tense? Just add a D on it. One letter. Okay. Make your future by one word. Now listen, he said, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Believe in all this? Yep. Believe in speaking in tongues? Yep. Believe signs and wonders follow? Signs follow? Yep. Now that's not Methodist. Nah, they don't believe that. That's not Baptist. No, no. That's Pentecostals, Laodicea. This is the last day. Now the first church age would never have noticed that. In other words, now what he's saying here, we got to watch this word noticed. I'm going to put it the way I think he's really saying it, but I'll read it through. Methodist church age never noticed it. Baptist church never noticed it. Presbyterian church never noticed it. But Pentecostal, so close to the real thing. Now in other words, it wasn't there to be noticed. It wasn't there to be seen. And it's still not there. So let's take the gloves off and ask the question, who is Brother Branham addressing? Not Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Church of Christ and those people. No way. He's addressing the Pentecostals, for this is where it comes. Don't tell me the Catholic Church got it on its own. The Roman Catholic Church came into this through duplicity. He's still living. A South African Pentecostal. Now listen, I've got nothing against the man to condemn the man. I believe he's moral. In the sense of human morals. I believe he's upright. As far as humanity is concerned. I believe he's trying to serve God. I wouldn't sell it for 1 minute that he's not. Because I know the man. He's two-faced, I know that. But a lot of people, who isn't? I mean a low blow because I know the guy. But the truth, I can prove it to you. All the good round of the witnesses. But other than that, we've all got problems. But he's the fellow that took it there. Mr. Pentecost took it to the Presbyterians. Dr. Mackay was a good friend of his. Went right down the line. Joe Styles was one of the great men that brought this in across America. And he got the people from the scripture saying, I would that you all speak in tongues. Amen. Let's all speak in tongues. So they all spoke in tongues. Then he said, if the Bible also says, if you speak in tongues, you should interpret. Amen. Well, I'll interpret. Aha, but he said, Paul said, I wish above that you'd all prophesy. Hallelujah. We'll all prophesy. Where'd he get such nonsense? Have you ever felt at times that you'd like to use your toes with your hands to pick some nuts and bolts off the floor? And then stick them on? Wasn't meant to, honey. Now, you might train yourself a bit, but it wasn't meant to. Neither are these gifts for you unless God sets you with those gifts. Everybody does not speak in tongues. The Bible says so. Then how do you make Scripture conflict with Scripture? Paul said, you don't all speak with tongues. I wish you did. Then why does everybody have to? It doesn't make sense. Now, he said, this is not these people. This which is so close to the real thing. The Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans didn't have anything like this. See? Now, surely you understand what he's saying here. That's where the wheat, the shuck is almost like the wheat. Now, that's where the wheat is in the Pentecostal age, and the shuck is a lot like it. They'd never notice it, see? They wouldn't. But in the last days, this days, yes, sir. In other words, he said, this could never come across their attention that this scripture was anywhere being fulfilled. It was completely out of their minds. What could they do with it? Let it sit there. And you'd have to let it sit there until God season came when the thing would manifest itself. And in what season did it manifest itself? Not under Luther, not under Wesley, under Pentecost. So the Pentecostals are the one here, the ones here that are producing this crop. See? Now, so I'll ask a question here. Could the Pentecostals qualify for foolish virgins? There could no doubt be some, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know. I know only, as the prophet said here, this could only happen today. Only today. No other time. See? Now, I know Pentecost wants to go back and talk about tongues way back to legitimize their stand. Now, I'm for that. You can trace tongues plumb back to the beginning and a little bit all through the ages. But, brother, sister, you cannot trace this back, what we've seen today, to any other age, period. There hasn't been a flock of healers of this magnitude in 2,000 years. Prove it. Come on, get your books. I challenge you right now. You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a prayer and you know it. Because you could find one person once in a while, but you can't find a flock today. Like, even the papers are making heyday with their sins. You didn't realize how many big TV big shots in the healing industry there were. And I called it that on purpose. There's more than you thought. And they're rich, increased in goods. And they don't lack anything, especially deceit. I don't know the swaggered is the guy that pulled the rug on Baker all the way. And what I mean by all the way, did he instigate it with ulterior motives? Did he have something in mind? Let them fight it out. I just wonder who it was that got that girl in the first place. What did he have in his mind? Then talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. The very thing I said this morning about praying, they must have failed to do. Because if he was having marital stress, he sure needed to pray about himself and keep out of sin instead of looking for somebody. And you know something? Unless you're a very special person in the eyes of Almighty God, let me tell you this, brother, sister, right from point blank. You pull that, you will get into sin. Sit here, young poor woman, young man, let me tell you this, you will commit adultery. Did you hear what I said? You will do it unless you're very, very special and God won't let you. But I want you to stand up and tell me that God won't let you. And I'd say, where did you hear from God? What prophet told you? You better be careful. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. He threw away a $129 million empire for one night with a woman. Poor old Samson got his eyes destroyed. But the biggest criminal of all was Adam, who took back a defiled woman. Just remember these things, brother, sister. Notice, just like it was at the beginning, 172, so it'll be at the end. As Eve just misinterpreted one word, Satan did Eve, and she believed it. In other words, Satan misinterpreted one word, Eve, and she believed it. Now notice, she, not he. That's true. Adam didn't believe. He deliberately, he knew what was going on. The church, not he. See, the church was the one that got the false word. See, not Adam, Eve. Not Christ, the church, the bride. Now, he's talking about the days when Jesus walked on earth. Who took the false word? The church, which is a bunch of Pharisees, scribes, and so on. Did Christ take a false word? Oh, no, he did not. He said, thou be the Son of God, do so. See, he said, yes, I am the Son of God, and I'm going to tell you something. It's also written, Mr. Satan. It's also written. I wish people in the Branham Message would begin to believe this and not quote the things they want to quote over the pulpit just to make something of it. Quote the whole thing, he said. Quote right down the line. Right for the preacher, right for the people, right for everything. Take it word by word like we're doing. Don't hedge on it. Now, there are lots of things I might like to hedge on. Sure, I'm human like you are. Maybe you've got more animal in me from the old serpent than you've got. Hard to know. Who's going to say? But here it is written. How are we going to hedge on it? Not the church. Not Christ. The church, the bride, the anointed. Supposed to be. Calls herself the bride. See, she got the false word. Can't you see that? Why, it laces together like a shoestring, like lashes on your eyes. Why, everywhere you turn to the Bible, it just lashes right together. Okay, in other words, all the word is continuous in this. Now, this resolves us. Let me go a little further. Eve believed it, not Adam. The bride today, so-called, believed it, not the Christ. Now watch this. Watch this little phraseology. The bride today, so-called, believed it, not the Christ. Now, that word means anointed one, too, so keep that in mind with it. The bride has all kinds, so-called brides, same sign, same wonder, same everything, but not the real one. Doesn't say the real sign now, not the real bride. Deceive the elected if it was possible. Now, so therefore, there's an elected bride in here just the same. Now, why am I going to take this? Well, today I'm going to take it this way. This now resolves itself to Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, only the truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those who truly have the Spirit of Christ. There you are. That little amount is necessary to join you back to God. That Christ in you will not be deceived. And that constitutes you true bride. Now you say, well, I gotta prove myself. You don't gotta prove yourself, brother, sister. That's a horrendous thing. How can you prove your thoughts are right? You can't. You've got to sit here, stand here, and believe. Say, well, I've committed myself. You've got to come to the place where you're like that guy that sold out the nation. You notice how you're getting more and more traitors every time on paper. Traitors, traitors. And that's a sign of the end time. Traitors. Traitors out there means there's traitors in the church. Now these traitors sell out. Now comes the day they're going to pay a price, and they're talking death sentence for the Marines. And if they're proven, they're likely to be shot. Or hunger, gas, whatever it is. And they got it coming to them. And you know what? They're going to have to stand there and say, I sowed for it. I've got it coming. And you've got to look at the white throne today, brother, sister, which is one day off, the day after tomorrow. Do you hear what I said? The day after tomorrow is the white throne. And you've got to sit here this morning under my voice. I'm sorry for you, but I'm in the same boat you are, and we're committed already to the white throne. You do what you want. You can get right in the few minutes it's accorded you before the clock strikes finality. Or you can sit here and you'll die and you will burn. And it's just one little thing. Do you believe what has transpired in your hour? Or are you going to look around and hope there's something else? It's up to you. It's not hard. Actually, there's a lot going for it. You can say this, well, I tell you what if you're wrong and then I'm wrong with you? Let me say this, I've been Pentecostal since 18 years of age and I'm 72. I've gone the gamut. The day I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, I knew they were wrong and something was right. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I've been all through it. I've seen all the signs, seen all the wonders, read the history, read the whole bunch. I'm not lived like a smart man, but either I lived a fool. And I'm going to tell you this. This is the closest to any kind of vindication there could possibly be. Say, well, I've got this. Then you take yours and I'll take mine. And we're both in the same spot. You're believing in that. I'm believing in this. Then you tell me you've got some bigger, greater faith than mine to build on, or some greater premise. You haven't got anything greater than mine. Well, somebody said, I don't believe any of it. Well, bully for you. You're dumber and blinder than I thought you were. You're like the Church of Christ guy. So, well, let's cut the little girl and you heal her. That's the devil said, jump off the building. And if you don't splash, I'll know you're God. I'm lucky. I was lucky. I wasn't Jesus. I'd have said, let me take her and throw you off and see if you splash. He didn't have to. Wait till I get you to the white throne. You'll find out. And they're going to come. So looking narrowly at him. See, you mean this is what caused all the trouble, God. And I listened to that. That looks pretty small, kid. Devil might look pretty big this morning, but you just wait. You'll find who looks big. He gave him a little glimpse, 27 miles across, 30 miles across, that face appeared, 30 miles across, 27 miles up. I thought, that looks a little bigger. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, you could be in a little hot air balloon. And you, my brother, sister, when it comes to fire, are no less off or better off than the guy in the Graf Zeppelin. In other words, the big Zeppelin burn, the little bubble burns. So I don't care which way you're going. Burning is burning. I don't want either side. I'm not looking at big as big. I'm looking at the word of Almighty God. So I hope you're catching that. Okay, let's go on now. 1:7-3. No, they wouldn't stand to be called false Jesus. They wouldn't stand to be called Jesus. No, certainly not. That's too plain. Anybody would know that. Anyone would know they weren't Jesus. I don't care if they had oil on their backs, blood in their hands, up and down their eyes. They still don't. Now, this is Pentecostal. This is not Baptist or Presbyterian. What do you mean blood on my hands? Listen, poor old Brother Allen, I feel sorry for the guy because he was an alcoholic. I guess he never got over it, and I used to feel mean about him, but then I felt mean about him because I found that he had a terrible childhood. His mother was she was like an Ann Oakley. She could just about, split the hair on a wall, with a gun. They would get the poor little kids drinking to watch them roll around the floor. Well, poor old Allen, he carried a lot of that into the gospel somehow because he wasn't with God. Because there was an Anglican minister, God in his meetings. As far as I know, it's an Anglican minister. My mind could be a little shady on that. But anyway, the guy was wiping himself after having had a shower, and blood appeared on the towel from somewhere, and a voice said, this is the blood of Jesus Christ, and Allen took the towel. I don't even know if it's true. It could have been a lie. But how could a man be so thick in the head as to think blood on the towel is the blood of Jesus Christ? I would join the Catholic Church on that one. How many nails were in the hands of Jesus? Two. How many feet? One, according to maybe two, maybe four nails. What are there, 38 genuine nails in the Roman Catholic Church? Maybe three, maybe 38 pounds is what they told me they were. How could a man be so deceived? You say, well, that's a strange case. Hold it! That's the bunch that talk in tongues. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't just say now, we're going to have a meeting and put that guy out. Oh, that sounds very good. But Brother Branham wasn't talking about the hierarchy. He was talking about the people as a whole. And let me tell you something, brother, sister. If the Roman Catholic people decided they wouldn't go to church, and they stopped feeding the priests, the Catholic Church would die. What I'm trying to tell you is the Catholic people are responsible for the Pope. And the Greek Orthodox are responsible for their prelate. And the Pentecostals are responsible for their president. Don't tell me, because I know the truth. Like you coming here, you back me up. You're responsible when I say these things. If you don't believe you are, go on home. Don't bother coming back. Be just man enough to say, I'm going to fool with you, Bill. I don't believe you, and that's the end of it. I don't believe the way you talk about the prophet or anything else. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried that I want to be right, that's all. Oh, yeah, he said they got the sense not to do that. Now, they wouldn't say, I'm Jesus. That's paragraph 176. That's too plain. But they know they're not Jesus, see? If a man went up today and said, look at the scars in my hand, look at my brow, I'm Jesus. Well, now we know that's wrong. Remember, Jesus never said those guys would appear. No. He said there'd be false Christs, Christ plural, denominations and so forth, anointed ones. In other words, the whole denomination is taken in by them. Anointed the denominational spirit and not the word. You follow it, not false Jesus, plural, false Christ, false anointed ones. Anointed to gifts, not the word. Okay, they're all one group. They're organized. They have no new message, but they're gathering together on their old message and they're saying, I am vindicated by what I preach. Now remember, Brother Branham came on the scene and he said, I am vindicated in what I preach by the signs and wonders of a true prophet. And he stood there. And they came right behind and did the very same thing. And they said, ah, we are vindicated by the same signs. Now you see what you're looking at? Brother Branham to them set a trend. Now watch, you'll find later, he will tell you that they admit that he is a prophet, but off of the word. They've got to say that to justify themselves, because they want to be known as prophets and vindicated. And Brother Branham is showing you the scripture is full of showdowns. Showing you how this works. So you can sit here this morning, not smug. Not smug, but at ease. Simply waiting for all that needs to devolve upon you to get you out of here. Not smug, no. As Brother Branham said concerning Ruth, she was at ease and she was resting. He said, surely you won't miss it. I'm making it that plain. 177. Now remember, I've always told you there's three classes of people, three races of people, Ham, Shem, Japheth, three races, three classes. And I said, this is the make-believer, the believer, make-believer, unbeliever. It's always been, always will be. See, there was Moses, the believer, there was Jannes and Jambres, the unbelievers. And there was Balaam. Moses and Balaam, there's always three classes, believer, make-believer, and unbeliever. So you got them all in there. Okay? Now remember, the unbeliever, the denominational church, doesn't believe in any signs at all. Cold, formal, starchy, the church of the world, the denomination. That's those denominations. Remember, Pentecost denomination too. But the make-believer is that shuck. Now he's the charismatic, you understand that. That's the guy that makes believe. And then there is a real believer that's really true. Now watch them as they go along. Just wait for a minute. Just a minute. And notice 179. Notice how bold these unbelievers are. Or make-believers, the unbelievers. In other words, they're the same thing. They're just a division. My, they're bold. Look, even as Satan stood right up in the presence of the true word and said, it is written. Now, Christ is the true word, the Logos. And he went right to Jesus with that word and he said, listen, he said, like he pulled on Adam, pulled on Eve. Listen, he said, it's written right here. Is that right? Why does Satan do that? It's because he didn't know the word for that hour. Well, he didn't know the word for that hour in the limited sense. That he didn't know the word that Jesus was bringing at that hour. The actual reality of it. So he was just going to make some tests. He knew the word was for that hour. In other words, he's not contradicting himself. He knew there was a word for that hour. He knew that the Son of Man was to come. But watch, he doubted this humble little man being that word. Now, I wonder if we can say that about these people today, though. Because they don't understand the appearing. They simply do not. The theologians will tell you, and I've got the books. I mean, I've had the books in my hands. And when it comes to the appearing of the Son of Man and what is said in Luke, they admit they don't know it. They admit they're looking at it, but they haven't figured it. Some were smart as Rotherham, who said, look, we're going to have to wait till it's fulfilled, then we'll know it. See, those men have the Holy Ghost. Those old theologians. They know that it's got to be there. But they don't know what it is. Then consequently, when it does come, they won't recognize the hour for which it is and what it is in that hour. Who's going to get it? Only the elect. Now, it boggles your mind. But there's no need to boggle your mind. If you believe it, you've got to be one of the elect. Because you're too simple-minded to be anything else but elect. You're sheep. Not a bunch of complicated goats trying to figure things out. Now, he knew the word was for that hour, but he doubted this humble little man being that word. How could God take a Kentucky hillbilly like William Branham, no count drunken parents, and he be the one, and he doesn't even believe speaking in tongues? Ooh, that was a slap in the face. A so-called Baptist come on the scene with more punch and power in 15 minutes, and Pentecostals would have 100 years. Let all these boys come before me and say, now, thus saith the Lord. Let it happen right there. Oh boy, they can pray for it to happen, but it doesn't mean that it will. If thou be the Son of God, I know the Son of God's coming because he said he would do that. See, Satan knew that. And it's written, he'll give his angels charge over thee. Sure. Now he said, let's prove that his angels are in charge of you. So you jump off the temple right here. Let me see you do it. Now just a minute. Jesus had his own proof. And he said, if you don't take my proof, I'm not going to listen to you. Or say, now that's not fair. Because look, if you're really God and you're really nice, we really don't know. So why don't you just let us cut the little girl's hand? Never mind the doctor's report, never mind all the other reports that she's healed. See, we don't know that. But we'll know this. I'm going to ask you a question. What if he'd done it? What if he'd have done it? Jumped off the temple. You say, oh, hallelujah! Oh, you mean Satan would have got converted? Oh, wasn't that nice of you to think that? You're so sweet. Are you kidding? What would Satan have done? Well, stop and think. You know what he'd done? He'd have gone the next step. There's no stopping these people. You know it. See, after all, that could have been a fluke. You know? Maybe he wasn't shrewd enough there. I'll get him next time. See, the unbeliever, make-believer, impersonator. Impersonator is a man that, well, he makes believe he's that person, takes the part, does the act, the whole thing. Look at Judas right among them the same time, make-believer, see? He was an impersonator of a believer. Notice, and there was the true word. Right today, the true word is here in Matthew 12, the form of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice, Jesus, in this showdown here, what was his showdown? Was to point to himself and his ministry in the Word and clarify the Scriptures concerning him. And not only concerning him, but put them where they belong. It is true that God's angels took charge of Jesus, but not to jump off a temple. And not at that time. But he did it. All right? 180. How bold they are. Now, don't pay any attention, they say, to such nonsense. There's nothing to it. Don't go up there to Branham Tabernacle. Just a bunch of noise. Nothing to it. That's all just fiction. It's in your mind. See? See what I mean? Stand right in the presence of the Word and say it. Now, they said it back there. They'll say it again. 181. Well, look at 180 again. Stand right in the presence of the Word and say it. I wonder if Brother Branham is trying to tell us that the Pentecostals won't come, so there's no use trying. 181, Satan walked right in. The Bible said over here in Jude, even the archangel, when disputing with Satan, said, the Lord rebuke you, against the Word itself. And here is the Antichrist, the Anointed, standing right here against the genuine Word of that day, Jesus Christ, and said, it is written. In other words, Satan absolutely used God's Word to come against God. I told you about this guy from Germany came over here, and as soon as I met him, I knew he'd have problems. Because he was trying to tell me Brother Branham couldn't be that prophet, or he must have made a mistake, because you see, Brother Bale, he didn't use the Scripture in Zechariah. I don't care Brother Branham didn't use the Scripture in Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezra, or Job. I want to ask you a question. How much Scripture did Jesus use? Well, say, Brother Vale, it just may be, you know, that those scribes didn't get it all down. Well, I've got news for you. God put down everything to those scribes that he wanted you and me to know that Jesus used. He didn't use. Well, say, well, on the road to Emmaus, he told them everything. How much can you tell everything in a short while? 66 books. He told them all they needed to know. I wish we could get that to our understanding. Everything is here. You don't need a lot of this stuff. 182, look at the last days. It'd be so close to deceive the very elect if it was possible. Oh my, the reason the elected won't be deceived, you know why? It's because they are the Word. They are a part of it. Let's read that over here about this. Ephesians 1. Remember, we got to 1 and 5. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, of course, the people have an idea. They say, well, let me tell you something. You see, you really weren't in Jesus. You see, you just really weren't. Well, that, I beg to differ. The Bible says we weren't. See, so that's why, in other words, we had to be a part of him. See, otherwise that life couldn't come back on us. No way, shape, and form. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. Let's keep reading here. 182, I'll look at it again. Oh, in the last days, it's so close to deceive the elect. Now watch. Why cannot the elect be deceived? It's because they are the Word. See? Just like the life that's in the root, I said a while ago, it can't deny itself. See, it's the Word, and in the season of the Word, that's right. Now, in other words, the life of the leaf is the same life that's in the root. Now, the leaf doesn't look like the root. You know why? Because, you see, there's a different season. There's a season when the leaf is there. But the life that is in the root is in the leaf. And the leaf cannot say, hey, I don't have a thing to do with the root. Why, the leaf just knows it has something to do with the root. See? And sure it does. I know that's inanimate, but we're understanding what we're saying here. All right, so does the real bride. And that bride is the leaf or the fruit of the season. She's the Word for it. And she's what's manifesting. In other words, the fruit in this hour of the Word is a people that can understand the difference between the true anointed and the false anointed. And when the showdown is over, which it is, when the prophet comes on the scene, manifested, he is to be listened to, then he quits the signs and wonders and goes right to the Word. And right there, people say, I don't like that. Well, watch this, brother, sister. The three sets of birds, the three poles. Number one, there was a sign in the hand. There was the ministry. Number two, there was the prophecy, and number three was the Word. Now you don't go back. The one led to the second leads to the third, and the third is where God wanted to get us. Then if that's where God wants to get us, why do we want to go back? How many of you ever had a dream that you were back in school again? Let me see your hand for fun. Wasn't it horrible? Oh, yes, yes. Merciful heavens. Yeah, you guys can have it. I had one little dream a while ago. It was throttling. It wasn't thrilling, it was throttling. I could hardly get my breath. Why would you like to go back, brother, sister, to the prophecy? Although I appreciate it. And I appreciate having gone to school. And go back to the signs. Why would you want to go back when this is where God wanted you? Look, those two previous had nothing to do with you, only to catch your attention. The rest of people ran for it and turned down this. Now, look, brother, sister, let me tell you something. If we want a finished product, we better go the root of the product. And this is the way the root is. I mean, R-O-U-T-E. Now, 183, just like Jeremiah, he knew. Oh, by the way, before we go away from that, good to Jeremiah, the fruit in season, brother, sister, is a first fruit. It's a resurrection fruit, and it's an immortal fruit. You know what? All it costs you to get immortal? Believe this word. So, Brother Bill, my trouble is, I think I can see that, but I'm afraid if I really believe it and I don't live that life, then you see, I don't know that it's going to do me any good. See, there's where you're wrong. You got to believe it, then that will begin to work in you. You know, how do you get yeast working? You put it into the dough. Or it doesn't work. You got to get that spirit in you. Because you see, the Spirit and the Word are synonymous now. In the sense, you can't separate one from the other. How can a man that speaks in tongues and say amen to all the gifts and signs and wonders and then turn on the legitimate Word of which a prophet is all about, which is Word? You see, they're still messed up in their thinking. They think a prophet is about signs and wonders. He is not about signs and wonders. The prophet is all about the Word. So once the signs and wonders have convinced you, forget them in the sense of worrying about them. Man alive. That's just like being a woman. She's worried about the baby she's going to have. Worry, worry, worry. Worry, worry. The last day, and pretty soon, well, not pretty soon, but after 9 months and a great deal of trouble, here comes the baby. And the doctor says, hey, the baby is a perfect specimen. Worry, worry, worry. When the baby's going to worry, worry, worry. Well, she's full of joy and happiness. That's what this is all about. This is the baby. This is the product we're talking about. See? Make our stand on it. It's vindication, brother, sister, is a thing of the past. Only in the sense that you know your word came from vindication. 183. Just like Jeremiah, he knew. No matter what Hananiah said, he knew where he was at. That's exactly like Moses and the rest of us. He's bringing his case right up to this hour. He knew no matter what the false prophet said, there was a word of God that was written. Satan, no matter what you say, there's a true word written about this condition. That's the reason Micaiah could say, all right, you just wait and see. Our showdown, brother, sister, is Ruth waiting. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's the whole story. Ahab said, I believe my prophets, my organization's right. Until I come back in peace, put that fellow Micaiah back yonder in prison. I'll take care of him then. Give him bread or sword. Turn him out. Don't have any fellowship with that bird at all. When I return in peace, we'll take care of that guy. And Micaiah said, if you return at all, the Lord hasn't spoken to me. He said, that's kind of tough. That is tough. I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe that there's a showdown coming? It's called the rapture? Brother Branham said so. Now, who's going to be sitting here? I'm not talking about this congregation. I'm talking about Brother Brandt's talking about the dividing line of his people from the people out in the world there. Micaiah said, if you return at all, the Lord's not spoken to me. He knew he had thus saith the Lord, and his vision was exactly with thus saith the Lord, not for some other season, but for that season. Amen. Hallelujah. The season. Now, what is the season? The season is the appearing. The season is the descent of the Mighty One from heaven. The season of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And at that season, there has to be the deceiver, or everybody would go for Malachi. What if Brother Branham come on the scene and nobody showed up? I'd challenge you. Bring me your worst case. Bring the worst case. Little girl's here. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Not a breath in the outside. That's great. Now I've got a great healing campaign, a gift healing operation. 50 people in 50 minutes. Hallelujah. Nobody else on the horizon. Now he goes all around the world. Nobody in the rising. They say, oh, great William Branham, you're the one. Hallelujah, you're the one. But let 100 people rise up. With greater industry, greater organization. Bigger tents, because Prophet didn't want a tent. Big money schemes, he didn't want it. Turned down $1.5 million. Brother Branham turned $1.5 million down from a real fine Armenian Christian Pentecostal. But Oral Roberts couldn't turn down $1.3 million from a dog track owner. Said, hallelujah, glory to God. Now listen, if Brother Branham had remained on the scene and nobody else, he would have been accepted. Well, how are you going to get a tiny group to believe instead of a great big group with one man? You can't. So therefore, lots of people come on the scene. We say, hallelujah, we're so glad. Oh man, for a minute, we really had a stump there. We thought we're so glad now we can do the same thing. Oh man, he just came to tell us how it was done. Glory be to God. So happy to get sleep again. Man, I'm glad I can go to sleep just thinking of what he did. You do what you want. The season. All right, brother, sister, stand with the season of immortality. And the white throne, which is 24 hours away. Bold, 185, be bold, stand up and dispute with archangels. That's what these people can do. It's been said that fools will tread with hobnail shoes where angels fear to walk. That's right. The reason the elected, Jesus said, won't be deceived, because they are that word. Now listen, they can't be anything else. Tell me if this is true or not. Wasn't it so, and I haven't seen it, Brian, but isn't it so that they took a piece of chicken salad and put it on the chicken's elbow, sort of, and it turned into what? A head? No. A toe. What does it tell you? Honey, you can't be nothing but what you is. You can leave here And you can say, well, Baal took it too far. He's just trying to overdo the prophet and this and that. I ain't going to come back. If you're a child of God, you will come back and you'll apologize before this whole congregation. Because you can't be anything but what you are, period. So don't pretend anything. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I'm not pretending. I'm in my own heart. If I was let go and wasn't under the influence of something, I would be like the rest out there. So would you. The only reason that we can stay with this is because there's something that's above and beyond us. That's all. Now, nobody clubs you to stick around. Nobody's going to club you. You get clubbed pretty hard with the word here, of course, with the purpose of getting it ingrained in your very nature. That's the idea. But the point is, you cannot be anything other than you are. He said, that's it. Like that little cell. You know, for years they tried to say that the prenatal cells of Dr. Nguyen's youth, that the parathyroid would not go to the parathyroid. The heart would not go to the heart. So they put a tracer on it, and it went there. Science will tell you, and the doctors say, hey, if you ingest those, you ingest those cells, I want to tell you something. The DNA and the RNA won't do you any good. I got news for you. But it does. Doctors ain't smart. Scientists aren't smart. God's smart. And God pulls a rug on everybody. Don't think he doesn't. Sure. Science is proving every single thing in the Bible, everything the prophet said. The very fact that your human body will take prenatal cells, it'll take the others too, shows you're part animal. Shows there's a missing link somewhere. It's not a chimpanzee. Now then, the TV, they call it our cousins, the orangutans. Our cousins? Maybe their cousins. And not removed. No, they won't be deceived. They are that word. They can't be anything else. They can't hear anything else. They don't know anything else. Hey, did you hear that? If you are one of these people that got taken in by the prophet, that you got in the net of God, you won't even want to get out of the net. Because you'll think that's the place to be. You can't be anything but a netted fish. You'll hear nothing but the noise of the net. You'll know nothing but the net. You've been netted into the Word. That's right. Remember, Moses wasn't carried away with all their impersonations. Now, was he? Moses didn't say, now, wait a minute, Pharaoh, you know what? The Lord just told me to do this, but glory to God. I see your boys can do the same thing, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll join up with you. You think he said that? Ah. That doesn't sound like a prophet of God. No, indeed. He just stood as firm as he could. He knew exactly, he knew exactly God would take care of it somehow, because he promised to. I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. Now, listen, you realize that Brother Branham is saying here? He's defending himself on his strong stand and his ministry, letting us know, but he said, there's nothing I can do about it. And nothing I will do about it. It's up to you. Take it or leave it. Now, if we are all the manifestation of the word of this hour, then the word is describing us in this hour, which is complete glorification. So therefore, this bride will not miss it. No matter what people say, there's a bride somewhere, and it's going to be just what this man said. He knew 187, so he didn't join up with them. Oh no, he stayed right against them. He didn't want any of their denominations. He stayed right with God. He wasn't carried away by all the things they could do. When they did it, after he did, when he brought lice, they brought lice. He brought blood, they brought blood. He brought everything. They impersonated him right along the way. He just stood still. He knew exactly that God was on the job. You understand now? You take two and two make four? You don't want to scorch too hard, he says. See, in other words, he's burning them, but he doesn't want to burn them too hard. He said they're doing a slow burn right now with this kind of preaching. Now, you think for 1 minute they didn't do a slow burn when he preached this? Come on. Oh, listen, brother. They were like they sat 45 minutes on a red hot stove. They were just a-smoking. Why do you think Brother Branham was hated? And they didn't want his gift.
They didn't want his gift. They wanted somebody else's gifts. He told me that day, he said, they don't want my gift. I used to wonder. No, they didn't want his gift. They want Oral Roberts' gift. And this guy, Tommy Osborne, this guy, gift, that gift. I'm mentioning names. They got gifts. I'm not running the men down. It's just saying they got gifts. They wanted those gifts. And in exchange, they gave gifts. Money, 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 money. And went away. Tired old Pentecostalism. Pentecost, no speaking in tongues and no evidence of the Holy Ghost. My God, there's millions out there spoken in tongues. Don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. No way, shape, and form, brother. Look, I've been all through that stuff. They can say what they want, but I've watched it from a long, long way back. Of course, they'll claim they're greater authorities, but that's okay. I claim I'm just as great authority as they are. No. They hated it. See? They wanted something else. 188. Why? They won't be deceived by it, the real believer. They are predestinated seed that should stand in the day. Also, Jesus said this, many will come in that day in my name and say, Lord, have we not cast our devils in your name? Jesus said at the end days, when the time is all over and the great resurrection comes, that many will come and sit down in the kingdom. Now watch. The kingdom of God's within you. Now watch how he's putting this. Many. The weeds will come and sit right down with the wheat. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I spoke in tongues. I shouted. I danced in the Spirit. I cast out devils. I spoke with tongues. I did these things. In other words, they'll come right to Brother Branham. Come right to you and me. They won't wait till the white throne. See, they're getting ready for the white throne the same as we are. You understand that? 24 hours from now, they'll be in the white throne. 24 hours from now, we're going to be at the white throne. It's going on now. Judge. He hasn't ceased to be judge. Huh? No, sir. He's just a bit recessive. You watch 24 hours from now how dominant. When he really sets it all in order. The judge always sets things in order. And he's still setting the church in order. But it's a little bit recessive. But actually, the book of Revelation, the true apocalypse, the true unveiling of our God is judge. Judge. And he's a judge that can show mercy on the grounds of to whom he'll be merciful, because it's time for the exodus. He will compassionate as a judge on the grounds of whom he will compassionate. And he will raise up to show his power and might, although they're destroyed, whom he will, because he's the judge. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Who's going to say he's wrong? We're narrowing it down, brother, to this hour. I hope you caught what I just said. If you haven't got it, go back in the tapes. I'm not saying these things for nothing, because they're very fresh and strong with me. They're very fresh and strong because they have to be, because this is what we're into. And this is what the prophet is telling us right here. They're going to sit right down with us. Sit in his meetings. They did. And the white throne is in view. What did he say? Notice, you workers of iniquity. I never, ever knew you. Look at even in the appearing. Now, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Matthew 25, brother, sister. Come on, let's go back. Matthew 25 in the appearing. Verse 10. They went to buy. The bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They missed the coming. They missed the appearing. Afterward, they said, Lord, Lord, open. And he said, I used to be married to you, but I'm not married anymore. I used to know his wife, but I don't know his wife anymore. I never knew you. That's not white throne. That's going on now. See? You say, how do you know that? Because he doesn't change. Hey, haven't we read the Bible to see this is a book that's full of predestination and God just bringing it all to pass? Then what he's saying now, he's already said. What he's doing now is in the blueprint. And if we were with him back there, and so were our dear brothers and sisters in Christ through all these ages, then he's just merely bringing it down here. He's been doing it all the time. So let's understand. What's iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something you know you ought to do and you won't do it. They know that word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. You see the Lord God says so. You see the Lord God say so. You see Him confirm it, make it true. And you know this is just as plain as the sun shining outside. But you that'll hold on to your denomination, number one. Two, hold to the false things, you worker of iniquity. Now look, He's not addressing at this minute the false prophets. He's addressing those that listen. He's not saying, hey, you people doing these signs and wonders. He said, hey, you people that are listening to the wrong workers of signs and wonders, can't you see the scripture? Now listen. Here's your false anointed ones. Now here they come up and they say, oh yes, I had great campaigns. I did this, I did that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get the other crowd. Jesus said, depart me, you word that work iniquity. I never knew you. So now you got all of them in there. You got the ones that do it. You got the ones that just follow. 191, while the Holy Ghost fell on me, I don't doubt it a bit. I spoke in tongues, sang the Spirit. I did so and so. I don't doubt that a bit. According to Hebrews 6, it's true. No question that. Oh, brother, sister, what kind of a condition? This is a trembling time. Where are we at? Now watch. The Word is coming to life now. There are two ways you can take that. The Word itself is being fully manifested and fulfilled at this minute. The life of God is in it. Or you can say, this is bringing us to the place of the resurrection. You ought to know that because the resurrection's around the corner when these things take place. 192. Yeah, notice. He said they do that. Notice, you work as iniquity. I got a scripture written down. I don't know just where it is. It's in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, many of you say in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy? Prophets, anointed ones. That's right. Weren't we prophets? Weren't we anointed? Anointed ones. Have I not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. How can you do that and refuse to be baptized in Jesus' name? In other words, you got the Holy Ghost. Why do you turn down the Word? Oh my, see how deceiving? Right up to the very point, then drop back. They go up to the Word, then drop back. Now watch this. We get out in just a minute. Many will say, Lord, Lord, we now prophesy. We've been prophets. Yeah. Spoke that Matthew 24:24. And in my name cast out devils. And thy name done many, many, one of many works. Will I not confess unto them? I never knew you. Depart me, you the work of iniquity. What's he saying here? He's telling you that Matthew 7 is Matthew 24. And letting you know it's absolutely right there. That these are people who have the works, but they don't have the recognition of God. Why not? Because a prophet deals in the Word. Why is a prophet rejected? Because he brings a wrong word. So then no matter what their signs are, they're off of the Word. You follow what he's saying. Only one is on the Word. That's why Brother Branham said only one major prophet. Not. Then I'll confess, I never knew you, depart from either work or iniquity. When it was put right before you and you saw it, and you saw it moving, saw it that it was the Word. Now listen, let's find out. The man said, the voice told him, that's the way it was done in the Bible. Now Peter stopped right there. That's true. But the voice said, you can do it too. And that voice was true also. And he did it. What about it? Now it was the Word, and for your nominational sake, you just held to it. Those men had introduced Brother Branham. You know, you did every time? Point them right to the Word, away from gifts. Steered them plumb away from gifts. Then Brother Osborne took the Word and made it work on the grounds that anybody could believe it. And turned down the prophets. When a friend of his said, Tommy, I hear you're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, you know better than that. Turned down flat. I never even knew you. I don't care how many devils you cast out, how many you did this and that. I knew nothing about you. Balaam said, I prophesied right in your name and it came to pass. That's exactly right. When it came to the Word, you refused it. Oh, brother, see the deceiving part? Not prophet exactly, but with the Word, true Word, vindicated Word, made manifest, you workers of iniquity. And what is he saying there? He said, you people, you never rejected me as a prophet. Oh, he said, you like me as a prophet. In fact, he quoted Duplessy and Lindsay in Middletown, Chautauqua, Ohio, right here. And they said, now Brother Branham is a prophet when it comes to ministering and discerning, but he's all wrong on the Word. So he says right here, oh yeah, you took me for a prophet. You admitted it. When it came to the Word, though, you back plumb away. Now where does it leave a person? What if you came to this church and you said, now, Brother Bill, we believe you got a gift of teaching. But you know, the point is, we're not going to take your teaching. Or we believe you're a teacher, but we're not going to let you teach. Brother Branham, a prophet. And a prophet is all about the word, bringing the word from God, revealing. We're going to turn him down. Oh, we like the signs. We like the bread. We like the bread that perishes. And listen, that's something a lot of preachers better watch out in this end time. It's nice to counsel people. I love it. It's nice to pray and see a lot of results. It's good to deliver the insane and this and that and the other thing. But brother, if you don't go into this word and help through the word, where are you standing? The bread that perishes. I'd sooner see you all die of cancer and get this word right. But we're standing on one thing here. This word right is going to bring healing somewhere, somehow. Because the prophet said, take it for your healing. And we're doing it here to the best of our knowledge. Stick with it, brother, sister. I said this morning on prayer, the big thing is that's in here. John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. He said, get it down here and let it radiate to the other man. You wonder why little old Tammy, what's her name, Tammy Faye? Look at the gunk on her face. She said she went to God and said, Lord, is it okay to wear this mug, must stuff? And he said, yes. And she was so happy she almost fainted. So she put on this, and people say she sculpts it on her face. I'm talking about this anointed stuff here, see? What about the word? What does the word say? That's a big thing right there. Turn it down every single time. Brother Branham, you're a prophet, all right, but you're not a prophet in the word. Why? He said, how foolish can you get? Okay, 194 and we're closing. Satan has tried in all ages to impersonate the true word. What does the word impersonate? It means to personify, take the place of, to take an exact part. Satan has always tried to interpose himself. Under the seven, what time we got, Joe? Okay, let's see if I can find it right here. Copied something down. Brother Branham mentioned here on the seventh seal. Notice now, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there's one thunder. When Israel gather, one trumpet. When time shall be no more, one trumpet, one thunder. But here are seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now why? If Satan should get hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. There's one thing he doesn't know, he cannot know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. This is Anointed One's End Time. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they shut up, quit harping, everything stopped. So Brother Branham is saying here, if the devil could get a hold of it, it would cause great damage. And what is it that Satan tries to do? He can imitate every single thing, but he cannot give you a revelation of the Word. So every false anointed person can come in. And the seventh seal reveals all this, because this is under the seventh seal. This is that definitive message that tells you, look, there are going to be many people following my track. You must have one thing in your mind. Am I the original? Am I the one that God used? Have you taken me for the word or merely an example or as a sideshow? What have you got in your mind concerning me? If you see that I am here vindicated for one reason, to bring the word, you are on track. If I am here for any other reason in your mind, you are off track. Now that's the long and short of the seven seal silence. You got a vindicated message. And remember, even Bible students outside of Brother Branham knew that God does a thing, then explains it. I just read that other day in some book of theology. Brother, sister, let's understand this. The world is full of smart people. The world is full of great theologians. They are brilliant people. The world's full of them. But I want to tell you, William Branham out-brilliant the whole bunch of them. Just read what he says and take it back to what you hear on the other men say, and you will find the perfect wisdom of God. That's what we're looking at. The Lord bless you. He said, I prophesied. Sure, he did. It was exactly right, but he was off the word. Do you believe that this morning? Can you take your stand with it? On the word just means one thing, brother, sister. Forget your vindication. Forget this. Forget it all. It's what you're looking at. Can you take it, or do you think I got to have something else? Lord, if you heal me, I'll believe it. Forget it. You don't heal you. You just go ahead and heal you. You're shot right there, maybe. Because you'll want something the next time. You got to be like Job. He said, I'm in perfect darkness. I press forward. He's not there. I look back. He's not there. He said, oh God, I can't feel you. But he said, I know you're here. I know you're not trying to hurt me. You're trying to put strength in me. This morning, brother, sister, this is an article of strength we've given you to help you on the way. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to praise you and thank you for your love and mercy, giving us this time to be together. Knowing our Father God in heaven, that there is a purpose why we're slowed down. We'd like to just speed up and go mile a minute, Lord, and just finish it all off. But you have a purpose in it, Lord. I don't know just what the purpose is, except it'll work out to our good. That much I do know. So if we're slow at getting around, pray, Lord God, that our slowness will be to our own advantage, which we believe it will be in the long run. So, Father, may we all go now with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, with what we learned this morning, Father, with a greater determination to pray sincerely for a life that is completely changed, knowing that the changed life is not the thing of this hour, Lord. It's just something that you want, and that we need to have ourselves so that we're more relaxed and your things begin to flow divinely in the divine flow, Lord. And that's what we want, Lord, our right prayers and the right attitudes, the right way, our understanding and the right way, Lord, with the right attitudes, right motivation. Help us, O God, in this end. Break down every barrier amongst us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. There doesn't need to be anything between us, Lord, and you, and nothing between each other, Father. We know that if we are really one with this word, Lord, everything else will come in subjection to it. Everything else will be forfeit to it, O Lord, because that's what we really desire. Help me to be that way, Lord, this morning. Not above every person here, because I couldn't ask that. There's others probably maybe far more dedicated. I don't know about that, Lord. But I do know that every one of us wants to be in such a position that we neither withhold you in our lives, nor withhold anything in anybody else's life, nor somehow work a withholding, O God. We want to be fully open and fully clear. And Father, we believe that that is this hour that that is taking place. And so we just say, Father, help us to take this word with your understanding as never before, so that the life of this word will transform us and be noted, Lord. Not that people are going to say these are wonderful people, but they'll know somehow that these people have that peculiar something, Lord. I pray that, Father God. I know it's possible, and we're looking to you for it. And we're asking you all these mercies, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.